Good morning. Welcome to our worship service this morning. We have a few things out of the ordinary for today. A presentation on Consecration Sunday. And we'll be doing that at the beginning of the service. And then what we will be doing is shortening the service. Following that presentation, we will go to the second reading from Philippians. But we'll also be singing a hymn today that we haven't sung as a congregation before. The choir sang it a couple of weeks ago. And that's hymn number 581. And for the large print hymnal, it follows the sermon and the blessing of the quilts. Hymn 581, You Are Mine. And one thing to remember about this hymn is that we sing the first verse and then go back and sing the second verse. Then we sing the refrain. Then we sing the third verse, refrain. The last verse, the refrain. Got that? So at first we sing the first two verses without a refrain. And after that, we sing the refrain after each verse. So Luann will play through the first verse and the refrain. And then we will join in on singing the first two verses and the refrain. And that will be our practice until we sing the hymn during the service. So. This morning we'll have the announcements at the close of the service. Just one more announcement before we begin. Before the gospel verse, we sing the Alle, Alleluia. This morning we're going to sing it through two times before the gospel reading. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We now have the presentation on Consecration Sunday by Barb Mazur.
Good morning. I was asked to present the Consecration Sunday stewardship talk today. And before I get started, we didn't have the insert in the bulletin about the Grow Ones sheet and the consecration giving. So if you didn't get one, most of the information on the Grow chart will be up on the and the percentage will be up on the projection. Okay. This has been a year of changes for me, and some of them very difficult. I retired after 24 years at Glenwood City Schools and moved to Baldwin to be closer to my family. And because of my move, I had to put some of my retirement plans on hold, such as becoming more involved in church activities. And I will especially miss teaching Cosmos Sunday School. Throughout these changes, God continues to bless me and to spiritually lead me. This summer, I was approached to be on the call committee. My thoughts were, who? Me? That's a huge responsibility. But after many prayers, I am pleased to say I accepted the challenge, and it has been an amazing spiritual experience. And I'm excited to report that the committee last week met to review the candidate profiles, and this week, initial online interviews are scheduled. So as we ask you for continued prayers for the Holy Spirit's guidance as we move one step closer in our search for a new pastor. Part of our assignment on the call committee was to look at the extensive information about our congregation in the ministry site profile developed from the comprehensive ministry review in the fall of 2015 and the three recent congregational surveys. The Christ Lutheran Church mission statement is, Christ is for all. We are called to share God's love through worship, music, teaching, serving, and sharing our gifts. As disciples of Christ, we serve people within the church, throughout the community, the state, nation, and world. The ministry site profile lists some of the ways our members and groups share God's love by participating in mission projects and outreach programs. And today, we see the perfect example in our Blessing of the Quilt ministry. Thank you to all who are involved in this ministry. Also, if you look on our website under Volunteer, you will see a list of other ministries and teams with our church, which our church serves. God has blessed the members of this church with the love to help many people through their generosity of time and money. As we move forward on Consecration Sunday 2 weeks from today, each of us will be asked to prayerfully consider our answer to the spiritual question, what percentage of my income is God calling me to give? At this time, you were to take out the Grow One Step sheet in your worship bulletin. And then you were to turn to the stair step side of the sheet. And I'll give you some figures which will show that what our members, congregational members, have been doing for this year. On the first step is number 173. That means that 173 members of our church are not recorded as contributing to the financial support of God's work through our church's ministry during the last 12 months. And the next level is 1 cent to $4.99, and that number would be 59, this number of people who contributed in this level. So this is the dollar amount that could buy a snack pack meal or a Sunday at Culver's. Moving up to the next stair step is the number of members whose weekly contribution is $5 to $9.99. And that would be equivalent to a Tuesday night movie at the Menominee 7. And that number would be 17. And the next level, stair step, is $10 to $19.99. And the number 22 equals the number of members contributing weekly. We can compare this price to a haircut at Menominee's Hair Cost Cutters. As we continue to move up the stair steps, I will give you the numbers of people that are contributing weekly to that category. For $20 to $29.99 is 17 members. $30 to $39.99 is 9 members. And $40 to $49.99 is also 9 members contributing weekly. $50 to $74.99 equals 12 members who give that number, that amount weekly. $75 through $99.99 is 5 members. $100 through $149.99 is 4 members. And $150 to $199.99 is 1 member. $200 and up per week is 2 members. And then I would like you to look up at the screen, and I'll show you a chart. And this is a weekly giving chart, and it'll give percentages. So if you look at that chart and just kind of find your approximate weekly income level, after you kind of spot that, move your eyes across to what your weekly giving level is to God's work through our congregation. And then after you find that, move your eyes up to the top of the sheet to locate the percentage of your income that represents. This one is showing $1,000. So if you gave $50 per week, that would be 5% of your weekly, of your giving. And during the next 2 weeks, I'm sure each of us will be pondering the question, what percentage of my income is God calling me to give? Consecration Sunday is October 15th. And following the worship service, we will be gathering at the Stout Memorial Student Center for a celebration lunch. As you complete the celebration brunch card, please consider a change from last year. There will be no Cosmo at Sunday School at church that week, and the children are welcome to the brunch. And we encourage you to come as a family. And as you complete the card, please mark separately the number of adults attending and the number of children 10 years old and under attending. This at this time, the rushers can start handing out the cards, and it's one per family, and they will come back and pick those up. This meal is free, and it's catered. It's not a potluck. You don't have to do a thing. You just have to show up. So we hope everyone will be there. And as Luann plays some music, I'll give you time to complete the cards, and then, like I said, the ushers will come back and pick up your cards. And we will be contacting people from whom we do not receive a brunch reservation card. So if you don't want to hear from us, please fill out your card, even if you do not plan on attending. We ran a little bit short of them, and I guess that's a good sign. We are prepared. So if you did get a white sheet that was handed out with the weekly giving or the GrowShare chart, could you just turn that over and write your name and the number of people that are attending, and if you're not attending, and that will take the place of the brunch card. Okay, we'll give you a few more minutes then. Thank you. thank you for cooperating in that and doing with our make-do. And as a reminder, I propose that you consider doing the following. Find a quiet place, pray, and ask the question, what percentage of my income is God calling me to give to God's work through this congregation? And in closing, I would like to share these verses from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 9, verses 11 to 13. You will be made rich in every way. Then you can always give freely. We will take your many gifts to the people who need them, and they will give thanks to God. Your gifts meet the needs of the Lord's people. And that's not all. Your gifts also cause many people to thank God. You have shown yourselves to be worthy by what you have given. So other people will praise God because you obey him. That proves that you really believe the good news about Christ. They will also praise God because you share freely with them and with everyone else. Amen and thank you.
Let us now turn to the second reading, the reading from Philippians chapter 2.
Good morning.
Morning.
If then there is any encouragement in Christ, any consolation from love, any sharing in the Spirit, any compassion and sympathy, make my joy complete. Be of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Let each of you look not to your own interests, but to the interests of others. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed me, not only in my presence, but much more now in my absence. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, enabling you both to will and to work for his good pleasure. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please rise. Gospel according to Matthew chapter 21.
Glory to you, Lord.
When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus said to them, "I will also ask you one question. If you tell me the answer, Then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin? And they argued with one another. If we say from heaven, he will say to us, why then did you not believe him? But if we say of human origin, we are afraid of the crowd, for all regard John as a prophet. So they answered Jesus, we do not know. And he said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I am doing these things. What do you think? A man had two sons. He went to the first and said, son, go and work in the vineyard today. He answered, I will not. But later he changed his mind and went. The father went to the second and said the same. And he answered, I go, sir. But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father? They said, the first. Jesus said to them, truly I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are going into the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even after you saw it, you did not change your minds and believe him. The Gospel of the Lord. Congregation, may be seated. We invite the children to come forward.
Okay, come on up. Good morning. Well, of course you. Good morning. Apparently my kids have just about turned old all of a sudden because they've decided they're too old for this, huh? Good morning, everyone. All right. So, in our gospel today, we heard about two sons who were asked to do the same job. Have you ever been asked to do a job by your mom or dad? Maybe a grandma or grandpa or somebody, right? Have you been asked to do that job?
Yeah, my mom.
Well, what did you say? Did you say, sure, I'll do it? And you immediately went and did it. You hear that chuckle out there? That's all the parents saying, no way, it didn't happen that way. How about if you said, yes, yes, I'll do it, and then, that video game really was calling your name instead. Yeah, that's more like it, right? How about, have you ever said, no, Mom, there is no way I'm doing that chore, no way, no how, I've got better things to do? But then maybe you kind of thought, oh, Mom really needed help, I think I'm going to go do it instead, and you did it right away. Did that ever happen? I'm getting a lot of blank stares, so I'm guessing that didn't actually ever happen. Well, that is exactly what happened in our story today. We had one brother who said, no way. Sorry, I've got other stuff to do. I just can't. But then he kind of thought about it and he thought, no, you know, my dad really wants me to do this. And so I'm going to change my mind and I'm going to go do it. And then the other son who said, oh, sure, no problem. What happened, though, if his dad went out and said, oh, he didn't do the job. Now what? So, have you ever heard the phrase, actions speak louder than words? You guys are a little bit older. I was afraid I was going to have, like, all three-year-olds who are just going to stare at me blankly. Have you heard that phrase? Katie maybe has, right? Well, that is exactly what we're talking about here. Jesus wants our actions and what we intend to do to override whatever we said originally. Right? He wants us to double think it and do the good thing, whatever that might be. Right? He wants us to double think it. Like if we said, no, Jesus, there is no way I am going to go and, I don't know, serve food on a soup line to homeless people. No way. I'm not doing it. Uh-uh. Do you think that's what he really wanted? What does Jesus want us to do? Love everyone and go out and help, right? Right. So then if we said no and then we kind of rethought it, we, oh, you know, I think I better. And we go and do it, and we do a really great job. Jesus will be very, very happy with that decision. Yeah? And, as Katie just said, we could help everyone who just went through all of those hurricanes. Another great example. Exactly. Excellent. Excellent. Thanks, guys. Let's go head back.
Dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. By what authority do you do these things? That's the question that the chief priests and the elders ask of Jesus. To get a full understanding of what this question is all about, we've got to back up a little bit. The day before this, Jesus had entered Jerusalem. And you remember how that all went. They came up the steps into the temple. And when they got inside, Jesus saw all the animals that were in there, that the people who were selling animals to those who had come to offer a sacrifice. And also the money changers. In the daily life, the Jewish people had to use the Roman coins in their day-to-day life. But when they came to the temple, they couldn't use those coins when they made their offering in the temple. They had to use just the Hebrew coins. And so there had to be somebody there to exchange in Jerusalem to exchange the Roman coins for the Hebrew coins. The setup of a temple was in the middle, in the center of it, there was a building with tall walls. As you entered that building, only the Jewish people could enter. And if you were a Jewish male, you had to have been circumcised. You came into that area, and there both the men and the women could be. And there were offering boxes on the walls, and people could put their offering in there. Then there was an area where only the men could enter. And then beyond that, there was an area where only the priests could be, as they offered their sacrifices, as they offered their prayers. And the Levites would come there after the day was over and clean up the altar, because after all those sacrifices had been made, it must have been a pretty messy place. The Levites were the ones who cared for the maintenance of the building. They were the ones who built on the temple. They were the ones who cleaned up after everybody. And then there was still another place that had a curtain, a tall curtain in front of it. And into that place, only one person could enter. And that was a chief priest. And that was only once a year. Because behind that curtain, it was called the Holy of Holies. And was a representative of a place where God was. And the chief priest would go there on the Day of Atonement. And I've heard it said that when the chief priest would go in there, there was a rope tied around his leg in case he would have a heart attack or something, that something would happen to him, that they could pull him out without any people having to go behind that curtain. And that's the curtain that was split in two when Jesus died, as a sign that from now on God's presence is not behind a curtain somewhere, but that God's presence is with all the people. In the Jewish society, there were several groups of people that were the leaders. One group were the Pharisees, and the Pharisees were the lawyers. They followed the law. They're the ones who interpreted the Jewish laws, and there were over 600 of them. They were the experts on the law. And so when they come to Jesus, it's usually some law question, you know, that he's not following the law exactly, that they come to Jesus with. Another group were the Sadducees. The Sadducees were the wealthy ones. And they were interested in religion, but only a little bit. More for philosophical debate and stuff. They weren't that interested, but they were influential. because of their richness. There were the priests who were a class of people who gave, you know, made the offerings and prayers. The chief priests would be chosen by the Roman government to show that the Romans had some control over the Jewish religion. And then there were also the elders, the scribes, the ones who sort of helped to make sure everything ran smoothly. The priests and the elders were the ones who were responsible for what went on in the temple. And we need to understand that. So Jesus enters on Palm Sunday. He enters Jerusalem, chases out the money changers and the people who were selling animals that people would buy to offer as sacrifices. That was all done outside of the temple in a courtyard, huge courtyard, with high walls around that as well. And Jesus chased all those people out and all those animals out because he said, this is God's house of prayer for all people. You didn't have to be a Jewish person to enter that area. This was supposed to be a place of prayer. And so on Palm Sunday, after Jesus entered Jerusalem and he chased the people out, then we hear of the children singing, just like we heard, what was it, last Sunday we heard the children singing their praise to God. And the chief priests come to Jesus and they say, hey, tell those kids to be quiet. They're making too much noise. People are being disturbed by that. It doesn't seem to have bothered them that the animals were there just a little short while ago and making all the noise the animals would have made. And so Jesus then goes home. Well, or he goes up to Bethany and stays probably with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. The next morning, as he will do all during Holy Week, he comes back to the temple. And he's in the temple and he's teaching. And now the scribes and the chief priests come to Jesus and say, by whose authority are you allowed to take over this temple? And so basically it was an argument over territory. They felt they were the ones who had the rule over who gets to speak here, who gets to present things here in the temple. From where, Jesus, do you get your authority? And so Jesus asked him a question. The baptism of John, where did he get his authority to baptize from? Was it from heaven, from God? Or was it from the people? Was his baptism something that was given to him from God that should be listened to and followed? Or was it just John the Baptist going out there on his own in the wilderness and carrying on a ministry just dedicated to himself? And the chief priests and the elders talk with one another, and they're really not sure how to answer Jesus. Because if they say it was from God, then Jesus would come back to them and say, well, why didn't you follow John? Why didn't you do what John and live as John wanted you to? Or if we say it's from the people, well, the people really respected John and realized that his authority wasn't just from man, but that it was from God. And so they come back to Jesus and they say, well, we're not going to answer your question. And Jesus says, well, then I'm not going to answer your question as to where I get my authority. Authority is a pretty big word in the church, even though we don't use it a lot anymore. But the concept is there. We use the concept of authority in the church as to who has the right to preach, who has the right to baptize, who has the right to administer, to consecrate the elements for Holy Communion. As far as baptizing goes, that's a rite that God gives to all people. And the hymnal that I grew up with, there was a form in the hymnal that said, for anyone to use in case of baptism in emergency. And so the church understood that, yes, baptism anybody can do. Because it is Jesus told us to go and baptize. As far as preaching goes, there used to be, 30, 40 years ago, it was only ordained pastors could do the preaching. And now as the years have gone by, we've said, no, not only ordained pastors, but God gives the insight through the Holy Spirit to many of the members of the congregation. And so it's not only pastors, but also members that share the Word of God, as we heard Barb sharing the Word of God with us this morning through her presentation to us. One place where the church holds out and says the authority is not granted to everyone is when it comes to consecrating the elements for Holy Communion. Because Holy Communion we see as something different. It's not just a meal. But we see this and we say this, Jesus comes to us in some special way with his body and blood. It's not just bread and wine. And so it's something that we don't play around with. This isn't just a regular meal. It's not the kind of thing we want our, you know, just anybody in their home while they're having their Thanksgiving meal and they say, well, you know, here's the bread and then I'll bless it and we'll say this is Jesus' body for everybody. Or with the wine as well. But rather we reserve that and we say we would like some control of that. And the authority to do that we grant to someone who has been called by the congregation and authorized to be the one, to be our representative, the one to say the words of institution. Jesus in his ministry sent out his disciples as apostles, and he sent them out to proclaim the word, and he also gave them authority over the demons, over the evil spirits. I don't know if any of us here have received that authority over the evil spirits, or would you like to receive it? One of the things when Jesus would heal someone of evil spirits, the evil spirits were the ones who understood who Jesus was. And they would begin to tell everybody, this is Jesus, the Son of God. And Jesus would keep telling them, shh, quiet. I don't want you telling anybody that because everybody's going to think that somehow I'm linked with the demons and that's where I get my healing power from, is from the demons. So I want you to be quiet. But they didn't. They kept on telling everybody, this is Jesus, the Son of God. Proclamation. Jesus said in Matthew 28, go and make disciples of all nations. Baptizing, teaching. That's the authority that we have been given. The authority that each one of us has been granted by God. And when we talk about stewardship, that's what our whole life is, right? It's sharing with other people that news that is good news for us. And also doing it with our life. Doing it with our actions, speaking louder than words. Doing it with the things that we give, doing it with our time as we see in the giving of time and the quilts that were made. May the Holy Spirit be the one who gives us that authority and sensing that authority that we take it seriously in our lives. For Jesus' sake, amen. May the peace of God, which goes far beyond our human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in faith in Christ Jesus. unto life everlasting. Amen. We now, in our order of service, get to do something I guess we get to do every year, to give thanks to God for... These have all been made this year, right? All these quilts that we have before us, and they will be sent... I heard a story once, and I don't know if it's true or not, but somebody was making a tour in India, and they saw a quilt that they had made in their home congregation. What a feeling that must have been for those people, to see that something they had had a hand in doing, was being used in a place far, far away.
Let us pray. O Lord, our God, Heavenly Father of Jesus Christ, our Savior, you have blessed us with so many gifts, an eye for color, the ability to make the necessary stitches, and the skills to develop varied patterns. Now we offer the fruits of our labors, the quilts and kits we have made, to you.
We dedicate these gifts to your service, trusting that your love will accompany each quilt and the other items, making them to be more than just a piece of material, a collection of items, making each piece an expression of your love.
There is no way for us to imagine the power and the effect an act of love can have on a person's life. How you use something as small as a quilt, a layette, a school kit, to radiate your love to the world. May these be made in your service and become blessings for all who receive them.
To you we lift our voices in praise and thanksgiving for the many blessings you have given us. And we renew our Christian promise to reach out to those in need, to feed the hungry, shelter the homeless, clothe the naked, comfort the weary and the outcast, welcome the stranger, and be a loving neighbor to all people of the earth, including our enemies.
We humbly dedicate these gifts of love to you and ask that you bless the fruits of the labor that has gone into the work done through Lutheran World Relief, that together we may minister to our neighbors in need. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Let us rise and join in singing the hymn, You Are Mine. Yeah.
us confess our faith using the words of the Apostles' Creed as printed in your bulletin. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated, and at this time we'll praise God with our offerings. Merciful God, as grains of wheat scattered upon the hills were gathered together to become one bread, so let your church be gathered together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom. For yours is the glory through Jesus Christ, now and forever. Amen. Open to the gifts of the Holy Spirit, we pray for the church, the world, and all of God's creation. We pray for the mission of the gospel. Unite your church in its proclamation and witness. Let the same mind be in us that is in Christ Jesus. Hear us, O God. Creator God, you provide daily for our nourishment. Bless fields and orchards, oceans and lakes, birds and animals, insects and fish. Sustain those who harvest your life-sustaining bounty. Help us to share the gifts you have freely given. Hear us, O God. God of the nations, give all your people the mind of Christ. Guide national and international leaders to advocate for policies that look to the interests of the most vulnerable. Humble us when we question your mercy toward those who are different from us. Hear us, O God. Self-emptying God, stir up compassion for those in need. Send your spirit to those who are in crisis, troubled, weary, or discouraged. We especially pray for Maxine, Bob, Kathy, Lexan, Gordon, Carolyn, Emerson, Lavera, Maxine, Ray, Hannah, Sandy, Lavone, Sam, the Wallace family, the family of Sandy Girth, the family of Marion Johnson, our companion congregation in Malawi, all those who serve in our military and their families, and all our members and friends residing in care facilities or confined to their homes. Hear us, O God. We pray for our congregation and community. Guide our deliberations over difficult decisions. Strengthen our commitment to our ministries now as we look forward to Consecration Sunday. Hear us, O God. Gracious God, we give you thanks for the saints whose tongues confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Keep us confident in your promises until we join them in endless praise. Hear us, O God. Into your hands, gracious God, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting the power of Christ and the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, also after supper, he took the cup. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." Let us join in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Come, for all is prepared.
Body of Christ. Christ given for you, the body of Christ.
Amen. We need one more person here.
The blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. The blood of Christ shed for you.
Amen. The body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. The body of Christ given for you. The blood of Christ shed for you. Thanks for coming. We give you thanks, O God, that you welcome us to your table and satisfy our deepest hunger and thirst. By your gifts of word and holy meal, strengthen us to take up the cross as we go about our callings in this world, following after Jesus Christ, our servant Lord. Amen.
Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, bless you now and forever. Amen. The congregation be seated for the announcements. Anybody that has an announcement, please come forward.
Okay, I do have just a couple. A reminder that the book fair is, the last day is today for the book fair. It's located on the table in the hallway heading down to the fellowship hall. Please make sure that you put payment for whatever you sign up for. The order forms are laid out on the table, and there is almost one for everything on the order form, so you can see what it is before you order it. Make sure that the payment is in the little box that's on the table there as well. I need payment before I can order. And I will be placing the order likely on Wednesday this week. So it needs to be in today or tomorrow at the very least, please. We're kind of changing up some stuff. We're going to try something a little bit new. We're trying to give our parents for our youngest 0 to 3-year-old age group the ability to drop off their kids and go to coffee hour or to the Bible study on Sunday morning. So we are opening it up. We're asking them to also provide a Sunday where they would watch the kids, but we're also opening it up to the whole congregation to sign up. Sign-ups are on the table in the back in the narthex. They are mostly for the education hour, but if you'd like to sign up for a worship service, that would be awesome too. I think parents would probably appreciate it. So check that out. If you can give one Sunday, you know, a semester, it goes around real quick. And then the last little thing is the blessing bags, what we've called Winter Haven kits. Our Sunday school and youth will be collecting items throughout the month of October and some of November, and putting together kits that are handed out at the homeless shelter throughout the winter. The past few years, we have packed 75 on average. Our goal is to hit 100. Last year, when I dropped them off, we dropped off 73, I believe, was the number last year. And the woman at the shelter literally cried. She said, you provide so much and you don't even realize it. And I said, okay. what do you say? So they really, really need them. They get handed out constantly. They really need this. So there are lists available. They should be on the table in the back in the narthex. There's a box available. You can put your items in there. And then just a reminder that we can use Thrive in Action money toward that as well if you've got Thrive in. That's what I've got. Thanks.
Good morning. Okay, so Barb updated you on the call committee already, so I'm not going to do that. But I do want to thank you all because Joe and I, through the bake and craft sale, raised over $350 for Jacob and Josh to use on their Eagle projects, which is great. I know they're both very thankful. Josh has started his already, and Jacob's, which is actually here at the church, building an outdoor worship space, will start in a couple of weeks. So, you guys, we really, really appreciate it. It helps a lot.
One further announcement that my wife tells me I need. Ooh, I'm going to make mine first. Then you can make yours. That my wife tells me that we need to make, and that is especially for visitors, that you're invited to refreshments. And it's down the hall to the left to the fellowship hall for those of you who don't know how to get there.
I probably don't need. need this thing, but I'm going to use it anyway. I got the impression from your reaction that I was right. It's very sad. First time in 20-some years that I've ever had to make this announcement. And I'd rather make it than leave it hang. Josie informed me this morning that our website was down. And I've been running in and out, if some of you have noticed, that the working on trying to find out what's going on, having trouble contacting the company. I don't know if they're located in Florida or Texas, where some places were affected by the storm, and they're doing a switchover to get rid of damaged equipment or what. But this could last for a while, and so we may not be able to have the recording of the service on the web today. And if you go to use our website in the next few hours, or maybe the next few days, we don't know, you may find it not available. But we're working on it, and I wanted to let everyone know that if they have occasion to refer people to it, right now the update is unknown. It might be in 15 minutes. It might be in 5 days. I doubt the five-day part, but just wanted to let everybody know.
Adult Bible class probably won't get started at 10:20 today, but we'll be meeting in the choir room down the hall. Let us rise and join in singing Blessed Be the Tie That Binds.
Tie that binds our hearts in Christian love, the unity of heart and mind is love to that above. Before our Father's throne, before our in prayer, our fears, our hopes, our aims, our want, our comforts and our care. We share our mutual worth, our mutual burdens bear, and often for each other flows the sympathizing tear. From toil, toil and pain and sin we shall be free, and perfect love and friendship break through all eternity.
Go in peace. The gospel has renewed our faith.
Thanks be to God. Thanks, Andrew. Good morning, Jerry.